The Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3.
What are Singaporeans' favorite pastime? Eating. And we're quite lucky because we've got a lot of choices when it comes to food, especially our local hawker scene. Pretty safe to say that every estate in Singapore has a couple of hawker centers serving out our favorite local food. But recently, there's been an emerging trend of young Singaporeans taking the local hawker scene by storm. I mean, what made them decide to want to become a hawker? And what are some of the difficulties they might have faced when setting up shop? Well, we have with us in the studio, Faye Sai, third generation hawker at Coffee Break. Faye, good morning.
Morning, Elliot.
We've got Tan Wee Young, chief of wings at Atan Wings. Morning, Wee Young.
Good morning.
And Raphael Sim, co-founder of Prawn and Me. Good morning, Raphael.
Good morning.
All right, guys. Now, we were talking off air, and I understand that you guys start as early as us, like 4 or 5 in the morning.
Yeah.
So you're pretty much missing work right now, right? Yeah. In that sense, right? Never mind, it's okay. I got something to make you all feel at home. Sounds like we're in a hawker center right now. In fact, it sounds like we're becoming a cooking show. Let's talk about each of your stalls, starting off with Faye. Coffee Break. Tell us about your stall.
We are on the second floor at Amoy Street Food Center, and I actually run it with two siblings. So the three of us squeeze into the little store. And 7:30, we start serving kopi, stays, toast. And what we do slightly different is we take a twist on your traditional kopi.
Okay.
So other than your usual kopi si kosong, we serve a pretty mean sea salt caramel kopi as well.
Wow.
And other than your usual kaya toast, we do our very popular Earl Grey creme toast. So yeah, that's what we do quite well here.
If my stomach growls over the mic, it's all of your fault. Wee Young, Atan Wings, tell me about it.
Yes, so Atan Wings is what we do is we only sell Ha Cheong Gai, which is our local fried chicken.
Yeah, prawn paste chicken.
Prawn paste chicken, yeah, prawn paste fried chicken. We serve only one type of dish.
Okay.
So we do it with chicken wings or boneless chicken thigh. Yeah, so we specialize in just one dish. We're located at Maxwell Food Center, Yishun Park Hawker Center, and recently we opened up at Timber Plus at Ayer Rajah.
Raphael Sim, co-founder of Prawn and Me, nothing like Prawn Me. I hope your chili sauce is good, your chili sambal is good.
So, we're located at Bedok Block 216. Okay. It's right beside Heartbeat, the hub. And yeah, we sell Prawn Me, something very traditional. We have two types, the traditional Prawn and Me and as well as the pork ribs Prawn and Me. Both we have the dry and the soup version. Mm. Yeah.
Time to get a bit technical. Raphael, how did you decide on Prawn Me? What kind of market research was involved?
To decide on what we sell is actually very location-based. So we have to see what kind of demographics are around the hawker that you are in.
Mm-hmm.
And for us there, it's a very developed estate, very matured estate. So we have a lot of senior citizens there, and we realized that a lot of them there, they prefer to eat something soupy and noodle-based.
Okay.
So we based it off of my partner Gladwin's family recipe, and yeah, Prawn and Me was born.
Nothing like a family recipe. Wee Young, Ha Cheong Gai wings, only one flavor right now at least. Mm. It's a favorite among Singaporeans, but why did you decide on this?
Because I just love fried chicken in general. Yeah. I do eat all types of fried chicken. It's just Ha Cheong Gai. I mean, shrimp paste fried chicken is something I grew up with.
Yeah.
Something that I eat with my family, friends, when I go out for the restaurants, sushis, or even hawkers.
Mm.
So I guess that's closer to my heart compared to the rest of the different type of fried chicken out there.
Okay. And Faye, deciding on running a coffee stall, is it really because the drink stall makes the most money in a hawker center?
And also because lucky for me, my grandfather chose not to do curry rice instead. Otherwise, we'd be boiling in the hawker stall.
It
was really because when my grandfather came from Hainan Island, he took the trade, the craft from his home country. So he passed it down to his son, my dad, and we decided to take over eventually because we wanted to do something that would make an impact, direct impact, every time we make a change or a decision.
Right.
So with coffee and with our products and our toast flavors, we were able to influence what the people in the CBD would drink and make sure that there's quality, lah.
Do you personally get through a lot of coffee every day?
I do. I used to drink 6 cups a day.
What? You know, there's some level of unhealthy with 6 cups, right?
Used to. So I've cut down to 3.
All right, that's all right. That's all right. Same here. And Coffee Break is a family business, I understand.
Yes, it's family. So it was passed down from my grandfather to my father.
Okay.
So that makes us 3rd generation now, me and my siblings.
Apart from, you know, adding in new flavors and whatnot, how else has this family business changed? Was it easy, you know, with the old ways?
In the beginning, it was definitely difficult. Firstly, my dad would come down pretty hard on us if we did something wrong or the coffee didn't taste right. Secondly, it was difficult to keep his regulars. Mm-hmm. When we took over, finally, his regulars would go, oh, so young, know how to make kopi or not. And we had to prove ourselves. We lost a fair bit of his regulars in the beginning.
Okay.
But slowly we built up our own customer base. And that was quite heartening. Of course, the last thing is making sure the quality remains. So we always make sure every brew that we do is good, silky, you know, and it will satisfy the customers. That's our main goal.
Nice. Tan Wee Yang, Chief of Wings at Atan Wings. Very interesting title. You're not a chief executive. You're not a chief of some department. When you decided on becoming a hawker, what was the response you got from your family?
It was about two years plus.
Okay.
Yeah, that's when I decided to be a hawker. Before that, I actually did events for like music festivals, art festivals. But that's where I really started.
And so then, you're used to long hours then?
Yeah, because I had a full-time job back then.
Right.
So Monday to Friday, like Friday nights and Saturday and Sundays, I was doing events.
Yeah,
you know, because I wanted to try this out.
Okay.
Yeah, so it was during the events where I had a recipe, right, that was pretty well received.
Okay.
Yeah, that's when I decided like what I want to do. And I arrived at hawker because I think I love the hawker culture in the sense that like the neighbors and the different stores, we do work together, and it's just like a more community. It's like a family in a sense.
Mm. And your family, how did they treat it, the news?
Not too positive at the start. I mean, they weren't totally against it, but they knew like the troubles and how difficult it is to be a hawker. Of course, they want the best for the kids, right? They don't want the kids to have like a hard life.
Yeah.
So, but once I really like jumped into it, they were supportive. You know, I think they had like no choice. You know, their son is like, just jump into this. Yeah. Then, you know, they gave my full support.
But please, come on. I've seen some hawker owners driving Mercedes-Benz. Good luck, my friend. You're gonna do just fine. Prawn and me in the studio, of course, Rafael Sim, who is the co-founder. But it wasn't always called Prawn and Me. In fact, it was initially called Plum and Rice. So what happened?
We started out with Plum and Rice, and it was a humbling learning experience for us.
Oh, okay.
So Plum and Rice was actually a fusion concept. We did umeboshi rice with braised meat and steamed fish. And back then, yeah, we decided to do this to try infuse a bit of healthy options for the people around Bedok.
Mm.
But we did realize over time that it's still something very difficult for the people there to accept a huge change suddenly.
Right.
They are more receptive towards traditional food. And so that's why after some time, we decided to change to prawn noodles.
All right. Let's continue talking about setting up your stalls. Faye, you are a 3rd generation hawker owner, a stall owner. But you know, you come from a different age and time, the time of social media, the digital revolution. How do you market your stall? Do you even need to?
Of course. The first thing I did when I joined was to rebrand our logo.
And that must have been tough.
For sure. But we changed our cups from the usual run-of-the-mill looking paper cups. We switched it out and we had my sister and her friend design a logo for us.
Okay.
And that has worked very well for us because people actually remember, oh, this logo looks familiar.
Right.
Were you from Amoy? And so that has worked. Also, we put up our Instagram and Facebook, and recently, especially in the store, we try to change up our operations and we've adopted a lot of new technologies. So it has enabled us to be faster, you know, reach out, be quicker so we can serve more customers and then they know us fast.
What do you mean by adopting new technology?
So we have the cashier goes outside the long queue, walks down the line and takes an order with an iPad.
Ah.
And once they pay, the order goes direct to our prep area, which is the store. And there's a screen. So okay. By the time you get to the front of the line, your drink is already waiting for you. And we've cut down a lot of time in.
Wow.
Yeah. So a lot of wastage. I used to take 5 orders. And then I run in and I'll shout the orders to my brother. And then I run out and take another 5. And then I run in again. So that running in, it kept me fit, but it didn't do much for my business.
You're working in a sauna already. Don't worry about the weight.
Yeah. But yeah, that helped a lot.
All right. That's nice. Wee-Yang, over at Artan Wings, how does marketing go?
Marketing for us at the start was quite difficult because people didn't really know, are we a chicken rice shop? Or are we like a full-blown, like a tzu-cha, like, I mean a full-blown restaurant?
Yeah.
We didn't manage to carve our niche, which is if you want to eat fried chicken, local fried chicken, Ha Cheong Gai or shrimp paste fried chicken, you come to our shop, right? We don't expect like the whole family to eat fried chicken because the thing is we are at hawker centers where you have like tons of dishes. Mm. So you can order different food. You can order a sambal stingray, you can order a prawn mee, different type of food, and you still order fried chicken. So that's where we wanted to be in, to specialize in just this area.
What do you use, social media or word of mouth?
So social media did play quite a huge part of selling our concept. I think because just this idea of a shop specializing in Ha Cheong Gai, so people really wanted to try it. So I think word of mouth did spread around the area, but social media really brought like my business to the next level.
Sure.
Yeah, where people from all over Singapore come.
Okay. Yep. Rafael, you've just gone through a rebranding, so marketing's quite fresh for you. It's turned things around. What was the process like? What did you use?
We didn't really use much of many marketing tools, but mostly it's just Facebook for us.
Right.
Something that reaches out fairly quickly and simply for us. So we, during the transition, we just posted a message on Facebook saying that we would be making a change in the coming month. And besides that, is actually quite word of mouth there.
Okay.
The community there is very, very bonded. A lot of them will just sit there for their morning coffee, morning kopis, and they'll chit-chat. And yeah, after trying things out here and there, they will just spread the word really, really fast.
Bit of trial and error and traditional word of mouth. Yeah. But what factor does the location play at Bedok North Street 1, if I'm not wrong, Prawn and Me? What does it play in terms of, you know, sales, rental price, and things like that?
In terms of sales, because we are right beside a wet market as well, so the hawker actually operates for like about half a day. Once it's past about 2-3 p.m., there's really nobody.
No point. No one left
there. So, yeah, we have to focus whatever we choose to sell to suit the timing that we can operate at.
Okay, so it does help. It does play a factor in terms of your operations mindset.
Actually, it's still roughly market rate around there. So, yeah, it's tough, but we have to work around it and ensure that we can definitely make it work during this shorter operating hours for us.
Here. Okay. Wee-Yang, this one's for you. Artan Wings, I know you got a couple of outlets. Share the outlets again. And how does that factor in terms of rental prices and sales?
I think you do pay higher rental prices if there's higher foot traffic.
Which one is the most that you're paying? Which location are you paying the most?
It's at Timber Plus, Ayer Rajah.
Okay.
But because that's a shop lot. Yeah, so it's a really much bigger unit. Yep. So I guess, it's what he mentioned. It was a market rate, so like where you pay. Still doable. It really boils down to, I think, what Faye mentioned. So it's about your efficiency and productivity. Mm. It will really help your business to like so-called cope with the rental prices. Sure.
And out of the three, which branch, which outlet is doing the best?
I would say Yishun Park Hawker Centre.
Yeah.
Because that was the first outlet that I started with.
Okay.
So that was the one that I started 2 years ago. So that is a loyal following.
Faye, Coffee Break is at Amoy Street, right? I have a rough idea of the footfall there. But in terms of rental prices,
we are considered second generation hawkers. Okay. So we actually have enjoyed a slightly discounted rate.
Oh, wow.
So what happens in most hawker centers is people bid.
Right, right.
And so the highest bidder usually wins. Mm. For us, we were able to buy it off the previous owner, but that was before laws fell into place. So before there was stricter regulations. Mm-hmm. But having said that, our rent does increase every about 10 to 15%
okay.
every 2 to 3 years.
Okay.
And actually, our coffee prices are slightly more expensive than our competitors in the same hawker center.
I'm paying for quality then.
Yes, you are paying for quality, you're paying for efficiency and
the experience of ordering on an iPad.
Yes.
And getting the coffee by the time I'm at the
light. I think it does help that when people see this, they go, oh, okay, this is new, they're trying to be fast.
For sure,
And we do our best when we are there. We try not to take other people's business, but, you know, there is a queue lah.
General question for everyone. There's this talk of, you know, recession maybe around the corner. We are seeing some kind of an economic slowdown. Does this worry all of you? Do you have contingency plans, Rafael?
Contingency, not really, but it does cause a worry for us as well. We did see a slight slowdown, especially for right now, it's the 7 months. So there's kind of a bit of a slowdown as well. But other than that, it's still okay.
Riyang?
For me, I think there won't be huge changes. Because I think hawkers are the pricing is still affordable to the masses.
Faye?
I think on the contrary, because we are hawkers, people actually come up to us more than go to a restaurant or a cafe. So I think we're on the winning end.
And very quickly, if I could run by all three of you, what are the future plans for the business, Faye?
We're actually doing more online retail now.
Okay.
We've branched out into doing merchandise and capsules. Kopi o kosong capsules.
Capsules, wow.
Yeah, and of course, offering to do live catering where we brew on site. Because you see, you get to enjoy the craft and the coffee immediately. So that's been working out well for us.
Rian?
My plans are actually to open all around Singapore.
Chicken wings everywhere.
Yeah, so I have one at North, South and West. I'm playing, hopefully, I can get one in the East.
Nice.
So we can get like anybody in Singapore, they can get the store that's near them.
Interesting to see the habits around Singapore as well, the consumer habits. Rafael?
Future plans. For now, because we've just rebranded, so it's a bit of an infantile stage for us. Right now, the focus for us will be really to build up the brand, build up this image for us. And this will take quite some time for now. Then future plans, we'll see about that after. Yeah.
All right. I wish all of you the best of luck. Faye Sai, third generation hawker at Coffee Break, Tan Wee Yang, chief of wings at Atan Wings, and Rafael Sim, co-founder of Prawn and Me. Guys, thank you so much for coming and happy National Day in advance.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.